You may be seated. Here, literally, Jesus Christ is being crucified on the cross. He's nearing the end of his life, and he notices here John, his disciple, standing by. He notices there his mother, and he makes this statement. He says, "Woman, behold thy son." You know, it's an interesting term when you think about Jesus calling his mother. Why didn't he call her Mary? Why didn't he say mother? Why did he use this terminology, woman? Well, I looked that up in the Greek when I began writing this message a number of years ago because I wanted to understand better the frame of reference and the tone that Jesus was using. And if you look up the Greek translation for this word, woman, it literally is translated as a term of the highest endearment. It is a term of the highest respect. So he wasn't just saying woman in the sense of a lowly term. He was saying woman to mean a woman of high respect, a woman of high regard. So we see first and foremost that Jesus loved his mother verbally. He loved her verbally. He used a frame of reference. He used a term that meant something of honor. He wasn't just saying woman. He was saying woman, my mother, the woman whom I love, one whom I endear in my heart. It was a frame and a term of endearment. He loved her verbally. Mothers truly ought to have a title of respect in our lives. Amen? Mothers deserve a title of respect. And that's what Jesus gave his mother Mary in the end of his life. He spoke to her in the highest of terms, the highest of endearments. Mother, behold your son. You know, he's saying, mother, you know, woman, this term of highest endearment, behold your son. He's saying, look at me. I believe Jesus is saying here, this is the son that you have helped to raise. The son who would be the savior of the world. This is what you have raised, and thank you for it. Jesus used a term of the most highest respect for his mother. And that's what our mothers deserve. You know, there's nothing that frustrates me probably any more in my job. I get all kinds of calls, and I've dealt a lot with juveniles over the years, and we get these calls about juveniles that are basically out of control and standing up to their parents, and we go to their house, and I've watched children talk to their mothers and their fathers just like they were trash. I mean, the words that I couldn't even describe to you, you would just have to be there to see it and believe some of the things that I have seen and what children have said to their parents. But Jesus here, at the end of his life, he speaks to his mother with respect and the respect that she deserves. And we ought to take a lesson from Jesus. And when we speak of our mothers, whether they be here with us today or whether they be gone on to be with the Lord, we ought to speak of our mothers in terms of respect because of everything that they've done for us. Everything that they've done for us. Gosh, if you could begin to think about what your mother has done for you in your life. The things that your mother has given up so that you can have something greater. The things that your mother has sacrificed for you as a child. If you could imagine that. Here, Mary gives up a mighty sacrifice. Mary gave up her son, her firstborn child. And if you could only imagine the relationship that Mary had with her son, and how special that was, knowing that her son is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. How it must have felt for her at that time to watch her son to be crucified. You know, every time I preach this message, it's so hard for me. It is hard because I think about how that Mary gave up her child, how she gave up her son. And that how her son died for her. It's powerful. And Jesus says, behold your son. Behold your son. This is what you have contributed to. This is the man that you have raised. Jesus loved her verbally. Jesus gave her a title of respect. But not only did he love his mother verbally, Jesus loved her physically. He loved her physically. Jesus strived to meet the real need for his mother. You know, in Jewish custom, when a father passed away, it was the responsibility of the eldest son to then take care and provide for his mother if she was still living. Now, we don't know this for a fact, but there's a lot of good evidence here that Jesus' father, Joseph, is probably already gone. At some point in time, he's probably already deceased now. And Jesus here is the eldest son of Mary. And Jesus, as he is dying on the cross, with all of these things to think about, thinking about how that he will be forsaken, thinking about his death, thinking about all of the things that he probably should have been thinking about, he was thinking about his duty to his mother. How do you know that, preacher? What do you mean? In verse 27, he looks at his disciple, John, who is the only one there for his crucifixion. He looks at John and he says, "Behold thy mother." He says, "John, this is now your mother. I'm dying. This is my last day. These are my last breath." And he looks at John and he says, "John, this is now your mother." And from that day forward, John took Mary into his own home and he cared for her as his mother. He cared so much for his mother. He knew it was his responsibility to take care of his mother and to provide for her in the absence of his father, Joseph, who has probably now gone on. And at the end of his life, he met the real need that Mary had for somebody to care for her. For somebody to bring her into his own home that she might have a place to live, that she might have a home to be a part of. And Jesus went that extra mile to ensure that his mother was cared for. My goodness, the love that Jesus had for his mother. To assure that she would be cared for all of the rest of her days. He loved his mother. We have a responsibility that we love our mothers. Amen? We do. And we ought to strive to meet their needs. Now, no mother or no parent should ever have to face the reality of losing a child. But it happens. It is a reality. But if we're blessed and God blesses us with many years, hopefully it is us as the children who will be able to care for our parents in their days of need as they have cared for us. And Jesus saw and knew and understood that this was his moment and it was his time to do what he could do for his mother as he was about to depart and leave this world. And he prepared for his mother. He prepared a home. He prepared a way physically for her. Just as in the same moment and in the same token, he was preparing for her a spiritual home in heaven. By his death on the cross, preparing an eternity for his mother, that she could spend it there forever with him. He loved her verbally. He gave her a title of respect. He loved her physically and he strived to meet her real needs. But also in the life of Jesus, I want you to know that Jesus loved his mother patiently. He loved her patiently. You know, this is something that probably for most of us you may think probably not the best thing to say, or I don't know maybe how you came up with that. But sometimes moms just seem to overstep, do they not? And it's because they're mothers, all right? Sometimes moms get all up in your business, as the young people would say today. And they go through your phones, and they go through your rooms, and they ask about who you're dating, and they do all these things. And you think, oh my goodness, they're just overstepping, and they're all up in my privacy. Mothers do that because they love you. Mothers do that because they care. Moms are not perfect. Moms are human beings. Mothers get tired. Mothers get frustrated. Mothers get aggravated. Mothers, believe it or not, you may never know it, but I'm sure they probably get burnt out. They probably get tired of picking up your underwear and your socks, as they said, at the foot of the laundry basket. Just couldn't go that extra mile and put it in, could you? Mothers get tired. And sometimes mothers may have to fly off the handle every now and again and just go, as some would say it, ballistic. Just go off. They deserve it. They deserve it. We have to love our mothers patiently as they have been so patient with us. So patient with us. John chapter 2, we see one of the first miracles that Jesus ever works. He says, and Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not come yet." You know, at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, his mother comes to him, wants him to begin to perform a miracle, you know, turn the water into the wine. Probably not the most appropriate thing to ask. And Jesus reminds us, he says, "Woman," there again, using that same term that we see in John chapter 19, speaking to his mother in the highest respect, term of endearment, "What does this have to do with me?" He says, "My hour's not come yet." You know, my hour's not come yet. It's not my moment to do a miracle. But if you recall, what did Jesus do? He did what his mother asked. Amen? He did what his mother asked of him. We love our mothers patiently. Our mothers put up with so much. Our mothers do so much for us. And sometimes it may seem as if they probably do overstep at times. But they do what they do because they love us. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Mary probably had pride in her heart that she had a son who could perform such a miracle like that. I mean, you know how mothers get proud of their children, right? Mothers are very proud of their children. They're proud of their accomplishments. They're proud of who they become as they grow older. They're proud of the things that they can do. And I believe Mary was just proud to be able to say that she had a son who was like Jesus and could do the things that he could do. And Jesus loved her patiently. He loved her physically. And he loved her verbally. But he also loved her attentively. He loved her attentively. Always, always making time for his mother. All throughout his life, Jesus made time for his mother. All throughout his ministries, Jesus still made time for his mother. At his death, Jesus made time for his mother. You know, you and I, if you are blessed to still have your mother with you, I cannot implore to you enough how important that it is that you attentively love your mother and make time for her in your life. We live in a world where it's cell phones and it's internet and it's jobs and it's our own families. If you're old enough now, you've got children of your own, and all of these things happening, all of these things taking place. But we still can take a lesson from Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, preparing 12 men who, after his death, his goal was to have these men prepared to create the New Testament church and go forward with his ministry. It's no small task. But Jesus still attentively loved his mother. And he still made time for his mother. Still made plans for his mother. Still knew that he had obligations to his mother. When is the last time that you made time for your mother? When is the last time you told your mother, "I love you"? When is the last time that you called your mother just because? Those are the things that are good in life for moms. They like to hear from you just because they just want to hear from you. Not when you need something, not when you need your laundry done, not when they need a meal. You know, moms appreciate those things and they still love to do them even when you're grown. But mothers just love to hear from their children. They love it when their children make time for them. I implore you, I beg you, I encourage you, take a lesson from Jesus and love your mother attentively. Make time for your mother as your mother has made time for you. Not only did Jesus love his mother attentively, Jesus loved her gratefully. Jesus was truly grateful for his mother. Even though that Jesus was the Son of God, even though that Jesus began his first existence in heaven, he still loved his earthly mother gratefully. Matthew chapter 12. Look with me there. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46, 7, and 8. It says it this way. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Technical difficulties this morning. We'll stand by. As the sounds of crickets in the background. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46, 7, and 8, it says it this way. While they yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak to you. But he answered and said unto him and told them, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands to his disciples and said, behold my mother and behold my brethren. You know, it's an interesting scripture, and you may think, you know, what does this have to do with his gratefulness? You know, Jesus here in his ministry says, you know, I compare these people here to be my mothers and to be my brothers. I compare them to be likened unto my family. I'm as grateful for my ministry, I'm as grateful for my flock, as I am my very own family, whom he held in the highest regard and whom he loved in the highest esteem. You know, here in this particular example, Mary and the brothers of Jesus, they came because they were worried about him. They came because they felt, and if you read a couple other versions, they came and wanted to speak to Jesus because they wanted to tell him, you know, you need to take a break. You need to sleep. You need to eat. Because Jesus was going and basically binge preaching, I guess is one might compare it to. And here the mother of Jesus comes with his brothers because they are concerned for his well-being. He was grateful for them. Love them. Love your mothers because they want the best for us. Amen? We love our mothers because they want the best for us. Mary, mother of Jesus, she wanted the best for him. She loved him. And in this case, she was concerned about him. She knew he was the Son of God, and I believe Mary believed that with all of her heart. But she was still worried about her firstborn son. Loved him and cared for him enough that she would go to him to engage him. Love them because they want and they seek the best for us. Not only should we love our mothers gratefully, but church, we ought to love our mothers generously. We ought to love our mothers generously. What do I mean by that? We ought to love our mothers like they love us. Mothers love us till the end. Mothers love us till the end. Jesus loved his mother to the end, but so shows the love that Mary had for her son that she would be there in his very last moments. She knew he was going to die there on that cross. She knew her son wasn't coming down. She knew that it was God's will, and it was the purpose and the mission of her son that he would die for all of the world. And she loved him to the end. And she was there with him till the end. She could have been anywhere else doing anything. She could have been embarrassed of her son. You know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that Mary herself could have not been killed for her very association of being the mother of Jesus. These were trying times in the life of Jesus. And certainly the disciples of Jesus, they scattered. They scattered for fear of what association with Jesus might have. We know that Peter would deny Jesus just prior to this instance, denied him three times because of his fear of being associated with Jesus. But Mary loved her son to the end. I don't believe Mary cared what the people thought. She was there. She was there through his trial. She was there through his scourging. She was there as he carried his cross. And now she's here at the foot of his cross as he prepares to die. Mothers love us to the end. True mothers never stop loving. True mothers never stop loving their children. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm grateful that I have a mother who, even as a grown man, she still loves me. She still at times treats me as if I was still living at home or as if I was still a kid sometimes. You know, calls and asks. You know, I've worked a lot of third shifts lately. My mother texts me and she says, "Don't you think you're working too much? You know, don't you think you ought to take a little bit more time off?" And things like that, you know, because my mother cares for me. And I know that my mother loves me. And our mothers love us to the end. And so should we love our mothers generously and to the end. Never ceasing and never failing. Not only should we love our mothers generously, but church, I believe we ought to love our mothers honorably. Love them honorably. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says it this way. You probably heard this before. Honor your mother, honor your father, and your mothers, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. You know, I had somebody ask me one time, early in ministry, I don't know my mother. Never met my mother. I have no idea who my mother is. I do know that my mother gave me up. I do know that my mother basically wanted nothing to do with me, and that's all I know about my mother. How do I give honor to my mother? That was her question. How do I give honor to my mother? You know, I share this with my wife, about my wife, and she shares it pretty openly, and she'll be real honest with you. My wife never really had a relationship with her father until after we were already together. You know, there was somebody else, another man that her mother married that pretty much raised her like a father. And I know that's something my wife has struggled with all of her life. And I know there's many people who can say, you know, for whatever reasons, my parents that should have been my parents, they weren't. They never were. How do I love somebody like that? How do I love them honorably? I want to tell you how you love your parents honorably, even if you've never known them. We love our parents with honor by being the best people in Christ that we can possibly be. By being the best people in Christ that we can possibly be is how we honor our mothers and how we honor our fathers. Even if they've never raised you, even if they've never had anything to do with you, you can love them honorably by being the best man or woman in Christ that you can possibly be. That's how you bring honor to them. That's how you bring honor to somebody who basically hasn't brought honor or love to you. You know, we should truly be burdened to honor our moms, burdened to honor our fathers. And we do that by being the best men and the best women that we can possibly be. You know, I get burdened so much at work. Having worked at a sheriff's department, having dealt with lots of calls with domestic violence and abuse in homes, and all that, there's probably nothing that burdens me more than dealing with parents who do not love their children, who won't raise their children, who won't care for their children. And I'm telling you, that is a big part of what I have done at work over the years, is watched parents who do not love their children. And it breaks my heart. I mean, it does more than just break my heart. It makes me angry at times to watch parents who can do violence or abuse their children and not provide the best for them that they possibly can. It makes me want to do violence unto them. I'm just telling you, okay? I can be real with you. It makes me so mad that it's hard for me at times to be professional. But I want to tell you in token and in turn what I have been able to see over the years. Is I have seen lots of men and women who have stood up and raised children that are not their own, because their parents would not step up and raise them as they should have. I've seen grandparents come forward, raise children as their own. I've seen aunts and uncles come forward and raise children as their own. My mother and father, I have an adopted brother who is in the third grade, fourth grade. And he is biologically my cousin, my first cousin's little boy. And I can remember the first time that I ever met him. He was 2 weeks old. My cousin brought him to my parents' house. And my mother has always loved children, loved to take care of children. And she dropped him off and said, "Do you mind to watch Bryce?" And figured you'd like to meet him. And he stayed what was supposed to have been a few hours, and then that turned into the next morning, and then that turned into the day after that, and then it turned into about 2 weeks. She just never came back. She never came back. And he has virtually lived with my parents since he was 2 weeks old. They were able to adopt him, and he's their child now. And they love him no different than they love myself or my biological brother and sister. They raise him just like he's their own. That's what parents are supposed to do. Amen? And for all intents and purposes, my adopted brother, his mom and dad, that's his mom and dad. The only mom and dad that he's ever known. But as he grows up, and he's growing into a good young man who has a real heart for loving people, loves people so much, I know that he's going to bring honor to his real mother and to his real father by just being the man that I know he's going to grow into be. We should be burdened to honor our mothers. We do that by being the best possible men and women in Christ that we can be. If you're here today and you're a mom who's raising a child that is not your own, thank you. Thank you. And I know we have some that are here. I know Renee. Amen. And I know there's others. Thank you for being the mother that God would have you to be to a child that biologically is not your own. Children, if you have one of those moms in your life, thank God that He has put that person in your life to be the mother that you may not have otherwise had, or to be the father that you may not have otherwise had. As our praise team comes, let's go ahead and pray. I don't think I can say much more before I just start crying like a little kid. But moms, we love you. Mothers, we thank you. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you. We can't tell you in words how much we really love you. And I don't even think Jesus could. But Jesus loved his mother so much that he made last plans for her there on the cross. said, Mom, I love you. I'm preparing a home for you. He said, John, behold your mother. I encourage you. It's Mother's Day. If you have your mother with you, tell her how much you love her. If she's not here today, call her, write her, send her a card. Just thank her for being the mother that she is. Or maybe there's somebody who's raised you that otherwise was not your biological mom or dad. Tell them how much you love them and how much you care for them. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come and to be here in your house. Lord, Father, I just pray that each and every one of us leaves from this place having a burdened heart that we would love our mothers. Love them for what they have done for us. Love them for who they have been, the sacrifices that they have made. Lord, we thank you. Lord, Father, I just pray that if there's somebody here with a burdened heart who's in need, Lord, maybe somebody that just needs to come and pray. Lord, maybe there's a mother that needs to come and pray today. Lord, maybe there's somebody who wants to come and pray for their mothers. Lord, I pray that they will come and they will be responsive to the Holy Spirit. For it's all this we ask in the name of your Lord and in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen.